We have been doing a series on the five enemies of fear. The five enemies of fear. Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, therefore we can understand what he's doing, but also God wants us to know what he does so we can operate in a place of victory in our life. It's not that you won't be attacked or not be exposed to it, but if we know what to do in those situations. If we're trained soldiers, spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours doing training. Why? Because they know in the day of battle they need instincts to kick in and not just have to, they can't call their sergeant at that time and say, "What do I do now?" When the bullets are flying and the pressure's on and in the heat of the moment, that's when training kicks in. Say, that's when training kicks in. That's why we spend time in the Word to build our faith, because in the heat of the battle, it's not the time saying, okay, where is that prayer chain? And praise God if you can get a hold of a prayer chain or get a hold of a pastor or get a hold of a friend to pray with you. But many times you might not find anybody, especially if it's 3 a.m. and you're awakened by the enemy trying to mess with you. But when you are trained in the Word of God, the kingdom of God, when the heat of the moment kicks in, when the problem kicks in, you have built your house on the foundation of the Word of God, and all of a sudden your spiritual instincts will kick in. I've seen quiet, soft-spoken grandmothers, and all of a sudden they get in the anointing of God, and you think, OMG, don't mess with them, because something kicks in. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. When you train yourself in the Word of God, you might think in one way, but when the devil starts messing with you, I mean, come on, if someone starts knocking on your door, trying to get into your house at late at night, you might be quiet and passive, but if you know your kids are there sleeping, something's going to roar on the inside of you. Right? Something on the inside is going to begin to roar, and you're going to become a little stronger than they've ever seen before. And I believe that there's a spiritual side to that, that when the enemy starts trying to mess with you, they'll let the training of the Word of God kick in. So it's not of, okay, what was I supposed to do? I heard that message 7 months ago. What was it? No, no, you'll just step right into the anointing and the truth of the Word and begin to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Amen? Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for every person. I thank you, Father, for every person that's here and under the sound of my voice. I know the plans you have for them are amazing. I know the love that you have for them is incredible. Bless them today. Touch them. Let them begin to understand all that you have. Help us to receive today from heaven what we need individually and corporately to receive. Let there be a supernatural spiritual deposit into our hearts today so that we continue to take that next step that you've called us to take, so we can continue to become what you've called us to become. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, New Living Translation says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Don't be, now notice this in this New Living Translation, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. By who? By who? Did you know you have enemies? We don't like enemies. We want more people to follow us, like us, support us, share our comments, give us a thumbs up on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it might be. We like for people to like us. We don't like people to be our enemies. But the reality is that there's enemies out there,
right.
Spiritual and natural. I learned years ago that the more people who like you, there'll also be more people who don't like you.
Right.
You might watch a movie star or a TV star and think, man, I wonder what it's like to be that liked and that famous. Well, that's because you like them. But as many people as like them, there's probably just as many people sending them hate emails. Because
right.
There's some crazy people in the world.
Yeah.
Just shake your head. Don't point to the neighbor. Just shake your head. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. There are people out there. There are situations out there, and there is the devil out there that would like to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I appreciate the understanding, because a lot of times in our Christian walk, if we're not careful, we just assume that if we love everybody, everybody's going to love us. It didn't work that way for Jesus. In fact, the hardest people that Jesus dealt with wasn't the people outside the religious circle, but the people inside the religious circle. Don't get me preaching now. I'm just stay right there and leave that alone. Because some of our greatest hurts has not been people that didn't know Jesus. It's people who said that they did. Don't be intimidated. I love the translation. Don't be intimidated in any way. This is one of my key verses. Why? Because fear is a tactic to intimidate. Fear's tactic is to intimidate. Fear's tactic is to intimidate. The Bible tells us fear brings torment. Someone who's afraid, not only are they tormented, what do? They coil up on the inside of themselves. People who are intimidated or in fear are afraid to take a step. They're just trying to survive. They're just trying to get along. They're just trying to make it through this. See, that's fear. But God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, the Bible tells us. God didn't call you even in the midst of an attack, in the midst of a storm. God didn't call you to fall asleep and saying, I'll just wait till this gets over and then I'll figure out what I lost. God didn't call you to like some people return back to their home after a tornado and they start rummaging through the scraps and the debris, seeing if there's anything of value. I don't think that's the Christian walk at all. And I know some Christians, that's what we've been taught or that's what we've been told and that's what we've experienced, because according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I think some Christians just walk through life trying to fly under the radar so the devil doesn't mess with them. And ever so often, the devil shows up in their life, kicks their teeth out, knocks them around, and they just endure waiting to come to the end. And then they start rummaging through the debris, seeing if there's anything of value left. And some of them will even say, oh, the Lord did it just so I can reprioritize. Now, God didn't do that. God doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come that you might have life. Don't give me an Old Testament illustration. If you want to know the heart of the Father, look to the Son. He is the expressed image of the Father. He is the expressed, he is the visible image of the invisible God, the Bible says. The enemy's tactic is to keep you from taking a step. The enemy's tactic is to keep you in a mindset of trying to survive. Well, it wasn't too bad. We only lost a little bit. Who gave the devil a right to take anything from you? Who says you have to walk out of a battle with a loss? Who says that you have to walk out of a battle with a loss? Who says that you have to walk out of a battle with a loss? When David was approaching Goliath, he didn't ask what he could lose. That wasn't the inventory. I wonder what I can lose if this don't work out. No, he was asking, what can I win? What is the reward of the one who takes this person down? When you begin to see through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of men, you'll begin to look what the enemy meant for evil. God can turn for good, and he'll take what the enemy meant to knock you down and use it as an opportunity for them to promote you and them write a song about you. David said, what's the reward? Because he began to look at it as an opportunity. Jesus said that a strong man is safe and secure as long as he's the strongest one, and all his goods are safe. Until, say until. Until. Say until. Until a stronger than he shows up, Jesus said. And then the stronger one can bind the strong man. The one who thought he was the strong one can be bound. The one who was a strong man can be bound. I don't care what you're facing today. It might be a drug addiction. I'm telling you, it might seem strong, but it can be bound. I don't know, it might be a disease. The doctor says, I don't know what to tell you. It might seem strong, but according to the word of God, it can be bound. It might be a poverty, and you're facing bankruptcy, and you think there's no hope and no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm here to tell you. If it's a real thing, it can be bound. It might be, oh, my marriage is all messed up. It's on the rocks, and it's probably for sure going to end up in a divorce. I'm telling you, that's a strong man telling you that, and it can be bound, because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. You can be free. You can live in victory. You don't have to look at this as an opportunity for loss. You can say, man, this is a horrible situation, but you know what? When it's all said and done, someone's going to want to write a story about this one. You start seeing the hope side, start seeing the positive side, start seeing the optimistic side. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. Well, God, if your word says it, I'm going to find your scripture that tells me about this. I'm going to begin to believe, and I'm going to begin to move in accordance to faith, not move in accordance to fear. Some of you need to cancel your appointment you have with your divorce attorney and begin to make a decision that you're going to walk by faith and not start moving in the direction of fear. I don't know who I'm talking to. It's getting quiet. Some of you look at your spouse. You didn't set up an appointment, did you? Because fear will get you to make plans that never was intended from God. Fear will get you, will motivate you to make plans that was never intended from heaven. Fear will get you to make plans and have an expectation. You'll start planning your own funeral. Because that's fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. How do you know you're intimidated? You begin to cave in and begin to make plans accordingly. But God's called you and me to rise up regardless of the surroundings. You can flourish in the desert. Why? Because you're connected to Jesus. You are the branch, he is the vine. You can flourish in every season, Psalms 1. That means when they say it's not a good time to start a business, if God tells you to start a business, you start a business. This is not a good time for me to do this. You know what I mean? They're all saying the odds are against me. If God tells you to do it, do it. If Jesus tells you to step out on the water, start walking. Start walking. Start walking. We can't wait for everybody to applaud us. We can't wait for everybody to approve us. We can't wait for everybody to give their stamp of approval on our plans. We can't wait for everything to come in alignment. The Bible tells us that those who monitor the weather never plant. You wait for perfect conditions before you start sowing into your future, not just financially, but in the investment of life. You'll wait and you'll never get there because the devil always makes sure you'll see a cloud when everybody else sees a sun. Oh, let's say that again. The devil will make sure that you'll always see a cloud when everybody else walks out and says, wow, look at the beautiful day, just a few clouds and all this sun. And you're walking in saying, oh, look at those clouds. I wonder what that means. I better not do anything today. Do not be intimidated by your enemies. Do not be intimidated by anything that the devil will try to use against you. Say, I will not be intimidated. I will not be afraid. You know, growing up, the things my parents would say over and over again, over a process of time, you begin to learn, they really mean it. They want you to remember it. They want you to do it. The Bible tells us to be not afraid, literally one verse for every day of the year. God just didn't say it once. He said it over and over and over because he wants you to know beyond what your emotions tell you, beyond what logic will tell you, that you can rise up and move forward without fear, without fear. Amen? Do not be intimidated. The five enemies of fear. Last week we talked about the command of God, which is God's word. God's word. Say God's word. Today I want to talk about the second enemy of fear, and that's the presence of God. The presence of God. This is more than a goosebump. Right. The presence of God in your life. The enemy is intimidated by the presence of Jesus in your life. Right. Listen, when Jesus walked on this earth in the flesh, the Bible says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. And wherever he walked, listen, demons weren't arguing with him. Right. Remember, he got in the boat, went across the water through the storm and showed up. And the moment the Bible says he put his foot on the ground, the demoniac of Gadara, the person that was so demon-possessed that they couldn't chain him, they didn't know what to do with him, he came running. And when he came running, he wasn't coming running to try to hurt Jesus, to stop Jesus, or to fight Jesus. He came running to bow down and worship Jesus and said, you're going to be cast us into those pigs. Why? It wasn't a matter of we won't go. No, because when the word of God and the anointing of God shows up, did you hear me?
Yeah.
See, we'll spend hours trying to fight the devil and minutes praying and spending time in God's presence. And yet Jesus spent hours in the presence of the Father in the word and prayer, and only moments he had to deal with the enemy. Because Jesus can be no more real through you as he is to you. If he's just an idea, a self-help, he'll give me a rescue when I go to church when I have problems, then you don't know him, you just know about him. It's okay, let's move on. God's presence. Oof. I'm telling you. I'll give you a few things that define the presence of God. And by no means that this is the entirety of it. In God's presence, there is joy. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. How can you be afraid when you're experiencing fullness of joy? How can you be afraid when you are experiencing fullness of joy? Right. I'm feeling depressed. Well, get into his presence. Right. I'm feeling sad. Get into his presence. Mm. Number two, in God's presence is protection. This is my command, Joshua 1:9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Why do you say don't be afraid? Because I'm with you. Say he's with me. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. That's beyond an emotion. It becomes a revelation that wherever you are connected. You're the part of the body of the Christ. Jesus is with you. He'll not leave you. You are not ignored. You are not overlooked. The devil says God has forgotten about you. I'm telling you, my Bible tells me that he has tattooed you in his palm of his hand. He has your face. He sees you at this moment. It doesn't make sense how he can do it with so many people that have been alive and so many people who are alive. But I'm telling you, God is so amazing that he's so good. Your heavenly Father is so good that he has the ability to watch you. Have you ever gone to a play? I've used this illustration before, but I love it. Have you ever gone to a kid's play? Maybe your niece, nephew, grandkids, children, whatever. And you watch all these kids up there and they're trying to do their best singing or dancing or acting, and they all screw it up and mess it up, and you're laughing, and you kind of zero in on your child, right? Oh, a lot of stuff going on, but you're zeroed in on your child, and they can fall. The little girl can be spinning around, minding her own business. The little boy can be picking his nose while you're going, and everybody's laughing, but you're watching that child. That's your child, and you're smiling. They're not perfect, but they're your child, and you have full, you're not distracted by the other children. You just love that child. You're watching them. You're so proud. I'm telling you, your heavenly Father has the ability to do that for each and every one of us and not be distracted. Full attention just on you to let you know he loves you. Jesus was, that's one of the messages of Jesus. Listen, if God does all this with the flowers and the grass and they don't last, how much more important are you? If a little sparrow falls out of the tree, your Father notices it. How important are you? How important are you? How important are you? Do you know what the devil tries to do with sin? He tries to devalue you. He tries to devalue you. He tries to convince you that you're not important at all. Do you see that? Sin will tell you you're not important. Pain will tell you you're not important. Religion will tell you you're not important. But Jesus says you're important. You are highly, highly, highly valuable to the heart of your Father. Amen. If that offends you about the comment of religion, don't be offended. Pray for me if you want, that's fine. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Just not in church. Just not on Sunday. Just not when you've got it down and you're doing it perfect. He's with you all the time. Everywhere you go. You ought to have the mindset. When you walk into a room, it might be filled with a bunch of hate, but the moment you walked in, you're walking in with Jesus and love is going to conquer hate. It might be filled with darkness, but the moment you walked in, you're the light. And it's going to overcome. Darkness can't, John 1, darkness can't comprehend or overwhelm or stop light. Right. Say, Jesus is with me. Genesis 15th chapter in verse 1. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. What was he saying? Don't be afraid. I'm here. Yeah. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. Right. Don't be afraid. My presence is with you. That's important. Yes. That's important. You're not alone. What does sin do to you? What does fear do to you? It isolates you. Right. The devil wants you to feel isolated, alone, and devalued, and you don't deserve it. And God, if God would just let me be a servant. That was a prodigal son's mindset. Maybe I'll go home and be a servant. But the father didn't say, you've done me wrong. You've embarrassed me. My reputation was on the line, and boy, did you mess it up there. Nope, that's not what he did. He didn't say, you know what, I'll take you on as a hired employee, but I'm going to start you at the bottom. You're going to have to work your way back. Nope, that's not what he did. He restored him. He brought him back to sonship. He brought him back to position of authority. Isn't that 1 John 1 tells us that? That if you sin, repent, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he restores you. Quit acting like a servant when you're really a child.
Amen.
You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. And the devil will tell you, you're worthless, but God says, you are worth it. I died on the cross for you. You're worth it. You have great value to me. But you don't know what I did. You don't know what Jesus did then on the cross. And I'm not saying that means you can go out there and live any way you want and just do a quick prayer. No, Romans 6 and 7 and 8 tells us, do we use the freedom that God's given us from sin to go back out and live in sin? And Paul says, God forbid, for whom you submit yourself, that's to whom you are a servant to. No, you don't have to be a servant of sin. You don't have to be a servant to that addiction. You don't have to be a servant to fear. You are free in the name of Jesus. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise and begin to experience the freedom that only he can give you. Say, I'm free. God's presence brings joy. God's presence brings protection. God's presence brings strength. Oh, I love this. Jeremiah, let me read a couple of verses to you. I had the hardest time. I had so many verses, I even told my wife, okay, I got all these verses, I got to trim this down. So I'm down to two, amen. I had so many. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11 says, are you ready for this? But the Lord stands beside you like a great warrior. See, church, we got to get past that God's a sissy. God's not a sissy. God's not weak, he's not a sissy. Don't mess with Jesus.
Right.
He's died for everyone, but if there's an evil person trying to get to his kids, don't mess. God told Abram at the very beginning, I'll bless those who bless you, but I'll curse those who curse you. We've lost that in the church. We think, kumbaya, we got to just love and embrace everybody where they are. No, if they're evil, some people are evil. Some people are just evil. I'm not running them down. I'm not being derogatory. Some people are evil people. And they have a right and an opportunity to make things right. But the moment they set themselves against the plan of God and the people of God, get out of the way. God will deal with them. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Most people look at it and say, we see Jesus saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Hang in there. Hang in there just a little bit longer. One day you'll be in heaven with me. Just suffer through this. No, that's not what Jesus says. Well, Pastor, didn't Paul, when he was had the issue and in his weakness, and God showed up, the Lord showed up and said, my strength is perfected in weakness? What do you think that means? We've quoted it. What do you think that means? Do you think that in Paul's weakness, in weakness, that you're supposed to sit there and his strength will help you suffer through the weakness?
No.
If you're trying to move some furniture and you are doing it by yourself and you're carrying it, struggling, and I walk in and say, hey, I'm here to help you, does that mean I sit in the chair and make it harder? Does that mean I get a camera out and say, let me get this on video and watch you go through the hard time? No, if I'm going to do something, what do? My partnership becomes a part of the solution to make your job easier. Romans 8 says, when we don't even know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit will pray with us. He joins with us. He partners with us. Do you see that? So when God said to, God says to you, in your weakness, my strength is perfected, it doesn't mean sit there and suffer and just hope one day you'll get through this. And one day, and by, when we all get to heaven, what a glory. It's going to be a glorious day when you get to heaven. But we've learned something else on this side of eternity, that he didn't call you to sit quietly by, that he wants you to be victorious. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to bring the kingdom of God into this world, your earth, that you have responsibility. He wants you to make a difference. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to be a city on a hill that others can see. He wants you to influence and impact people. He wants people's lives changed. He wants people saved. He wants things done. It is a display. It is an aroma of the goodness of God wherever you go. I didn't say it. He said it. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. I'm not going to spoon feed you everything, but you'll find that it says that wherever you go, you're to be an aroma of the goodness of God by the victories he's given you. Well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. He's already suffered. He paid the price. Now start walking in the victory, the light of it. That doesn't mean you won't have a giant. That doesn't mean you won't have a storm. That doesn't mean you won't have a challenge. It means that when it comes, you know that you are called to overcome. 1 John 5:14. For this is the victory that overcomes even your faith.
Yes.
For who, the first part of that verse is, whosoever is born of God overcomes.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. I need a tissue to wipe my tears. Some of us just want a relationship with Jesus, that he comes and just consoles us in the hard times. But that's not what Jesus wants to do.
Right.
He wants, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Doesn't mean go sit in the back of the bus and let them tell you what. No, no, something on the inside of you, the anointing of the word of God says, wait a minute, I don't have to settle for this. Do you see that? See, the whole prodigal son story wasn't just the son who came back to his father and was forgiven. It's also in that story a understanding, a revelation that a son came back to himself, the Bible says in King James. He was awakened. He came back to himself. He came back to his identity. He came back to the reality of who he was called to be in relationship to his father.
Amen.
Right? The Bible says it wasn't the hunger. Because the first sign of hunger, he would have gone back, and he didn't. It wasn't the swine, because he'd been feeding the pigs, and he was still there for a while. It wasn't people that left him, because they had left him before, and he was still there. It wasn't running out of money. Oh, they'll let him hit rock bottom, then they'll come back. No, some people don't come back, because hitting rock bottom doesn't make everybody come back. You know what makes someone come back? When they come back to the revelation of their identity to their father. Because he said within himself, doesn't my father's servants, check it out, challenge everything I say. I'm not here to be your answer all. I'm not your Jesus. I'm connecting you to him and his word. He said, did not my father's servants have plenty? He didn't say just my father. Those who worked for my father had plenty. He understood the generosity of his father was not just to have. Some people have a lot, but they're stingy. And the reason they have a lot is because they're taken from people and they don't share. But he knew my father, those who are around my father's so generous that those who are near him, who work for him, they have plenty. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise up. See, when you begin to regain the identity of who you are in relationship to your father, it will cause you to rise up from the situation who has held you down. You don't have to rise up if you're not down. I will rise up and I will go. That means I can't stay here any longer. But notice, he didn't have to ask permission. to go. He didn't have to ask permission to rise up. Who are you asking permission to become the son and daughter of God that he has called you to? Well, they just won't let me. Who's they? You know what you need? You need a revelation of your identity. That's why Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come.
Yes.
What is light? Psalms 119, the entrance of his word gives light.
That's right.
He came to himself, and when he came to himself, he began to move toward his Father.
Right.
We need the identity of who God is and who we are in relationship. We're waiting for God to console us. And I'm telling you, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a mighty warrior. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. He's not fanning me, trying to cool me off from the flames of the attack. No, he gave me a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, catch this, before you, I'm going to put you in there since it's before you. But the Lord stands beside you like a great warrior. You got the mental picture? And before you, your persecutors will stumble.
Yes.
You mean God can be with me and I still have persecutors? You mean Jesus can love me and I still have enemies?
Wow.
If you allow the winds against you to keep you from what God has for you, you'll never see the victory that God has.
Right.
I remember my own, I'll take a side trip. I remember my own life. This is years ago, many, many years ago. And during the time, the budget, you know, any budget of any organization, personally or whatever, you might have your ebb and flows. And so the church budget was starting to drop a little bit. And I just found myself, I didn't cry, I didn't complain, but I found myself, you know what I mean, being just a comment here and a comment there. I started getting a little jaded on the inside. And one day, on my day off, I was running some errands. Went through and got some food at a drive-thru. Came home. Nobody was there at the time. Set my food down, turned the TV on. I was just going to eat lunch. Now, let me preface. This doesn't happen all the time, so I don't want the perception that, but this stuff can't happen. I set my food down, turned the TV on. I'm thinking food, I'm thinking lunch, I'm thinking I'm going to watch some TV, eat. I'm walking into the kitchen to go get some ketchup. I'm not praying, I'm not fasting. I got fast food in there. I got a TV on in there. I need some ketchup. I'm walking through the kitchen to get some ketchup, and halfway through the kitchen, I got caught up, and the only way I can explain it would be like in a glory cloud. Here's what happened to me. I was walking full steam toward the refrigerator, and next thing I know, I am stopped. Tears are pouring down my face. I don't remember even started crying. My hands are raised. I didn't even remember raising my hands. And I was just surrounded by the presence of God. And I was just worshiping him. I didn't even remember. It wasn't like, oh, I need to do this. It wasn't like, oh, wouldn't this be a nice thing? I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was wanting to eat. Do you see my point of view? I wasn't planning on. And I found myself in the presence of God, and I heard the Lord say, if this is as far as you can, if this is all you can handle, this is as far as I can take you. And I walked away from the experience with the understanding that regardless of the size of the opposition, begin to look at the situation and say, no big deal. No big deal. And not measure a situation by my ability, measure the situation by the one who sent me. And look at the situation and say, no big deal. Some of us need to look at the devil, look at him and say, you're no big deal. That's what David said to Goliath. My God's going to put you into my hands today. You're not that big a deal. I'm going to send one rock. Do you see this? And it's going to knock you down. And I'm going to cut your head off with a sword that I don't even have. So I'm going to steal your sword after I knock you down. I'm going to make it mine. Because if I knock you down, it belongs to me. Doesn't the Bible say that if you bind a strong man, all his goods are yours, right? So I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to take authority over you. And I'm going to take the sword that you had to hurt me. And I'm going to use what you meant for evil. I'm going to cut your head off. Do you see what I'm doing, Goliath? Do you shake your head so you understand? Because I want all the people to know that at the end of the day, there is a God who delivers and saves, not by sword and by shield, that God can use anything and anyone who's willing to believe and obey him.
Amen.
And I sensed this morning when I was getting ready, I was literally in the shower, and I sensed the Lord drop this on my heart for somebody. I do not know exactly who it is, but you're about to make a step forward in destiny, and you're beginning to feel the winds of opposition against you. And your natural thing is to back up and step down. And I heard the Lord say, because he don't always speak to me real calm and quietly and softly. I get this stuff like an admiral, you know what I mean, that you get a command from the top. They don't say, will you do this? They just tell you to do it. And I heard the Lord speak to my heart for somebody. I don't know who you are, but you are on the brink of doing something, and it's a new level, it's a bigger level, it's a higher level, and you believe God's calling you there, but you're beginning to face such level of opposition that you're now considering backing up, and maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe this is too big of a cost. And I heard the Lord say, because it was like a mental picture, I hit an immediate download, and I heard the Lord say strongly, do not back up. Don't you dare back up. Do not back up. I don't know who I'm talking to. Do not back up. The winds of opposition might be blowing, but don't you dare back up. You keep moving forward. If that's for you, give the Lord a big shout right now. So I will not back up. Because then I learned through the process of my own experience that with the path of God comes the grace of God. And all of a sudden, the things that used to intimidate me or overwhelm me, now because of the grace of God, don't bother me. Amen. And I can have rest in the midst of a storm because I know, oh, come on. So I'm not going to back up. Whew. If Jesus said we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. But the Lord stands beside you like a great warrior. Before him, your persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat you. They cannot defeat you. They will try to tell you they cannot defeat you. They will fall, they will fail, and they will be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. You gotta let the devil know, not only are you gonna lose, but they're gonna write songs about this one. They're going to tell stories about this one. And if it's a really good one, they might even make a movie. Come on, you watch some of those movies and say, ooh, that was a great movie. Wouldn't want to be them, but that's why we're not in a movie. Because sometimes we don't take on the obstacles and nobody, oh, we got to move on. Say, this one's going to be a story. One more verse and then we're going to close on, well, maybe two more verses. We'll get there. Habakkuk, are you ready for this? Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, I told my wife, I love this verse. I mean, the obscurity. Who comes out with a verse of Habakkuk? Most people don't even know Habakkuk is in the Bible. It just don't even sound. It's not even fun to say like Francisco. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, come on, people, getting Christmas. Do you ever watch the Elf story? All right, Habakkuk chapter 3, Amplified, verse 19. The Lord God is your strength. Who's your strength? He's your source of courage, your invincible army. He has made your feet steady and sure like hinds feet, which means like deer, and makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenge and responsibility. Oh, I don't want any responsibility. I don't want any challenge. I don't want no risk. I just want to play it safe. No, no, no. For where God's taking you, you're going to have to deal with some armies. You're going to deal with some giants. And you got to be willing to say, God is my strength, the source of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. I will not be afraid. The Lord is the strength of your life. Let me read that again. The Lord is your strength, your source of courage, your invincible army. He has made your feet steady and sure like hinds feet. And makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenge and responsibility. Say, the Lord is my strength.
Lord is my strength.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many people feel his presence right now? Isn't it funny how the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He's with you. You may not always feel him emotionally, but emotions don't decide. But there's assurance that you could have. I remember when, it's an unusual story, but I remember clearly the day I had bought my first home. I was single, and I was the middle child growing up. So, you know, if any of those of you who are middle children, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Middle children have an interesting dynamic. One of those is that we really never get the good jobs, right? The oldest one's the boss. The youngest one's the baby, is pampered. The middle one, we're just there. How many middle children? Okay, I'm talking to you. The rest of you, on you. So you're... And, you know, the middle child never, have you noticed, typically, middle children never get asked. It's, what do you want to have for dinner? I never had that told. Never asked me what I wanted for dinner. Never, they never asked me where we're going to go for vacation. They never asked me what we're going to do. Never asked me, what movie would you like to watch tonight? Never got asked any of that, right? And middle children, we're just kind of like, either the oldest one says we're going to do it or the younger one cries and gets their way. But either way, you're stuck in the middle. When you try to boss, the older one smacks you and says, quit being so bossy. And then you're stuck with, what's up with that? And if you try the crying method, all of a sudden they're like, why are you crying, you baby? Smack you again. So it's like, any way you go, it's like you just learn. You just kind of go with the flow. Never had a, it is what it is. And the reason I say that is I remember, and this is so funny, and it's odd, but it is to me, it's funny. I remember the first time I bought a house, and at that point, I was single, nobody else in the house, and I had this weird moment where all of a sudden I was sitting there watching TV, and I felt cold. I thought, man, it's kind of cold. It must be getting cold outside. And it was like I was so used to somebody else managing the temperature of the room. And it was like dawned on me, hello, you just bought this house. There's nobody else in the house. It's your house, your room. An oversimplified thought. It's my house. It's my room. Nobody else is even here to say, is it cold or is it warm? I had to find out for myself. You know what I mean? What do I want? I wasn't used to asking, what do I want? I didn't get that many times growing up. It was almost foreign. What do I want? I almost felt like I had to get on my knees and repent for asking, what do you want? You know what I mean? That was not even, I thought, well, what temperature? And I had that moment of, I could set the temperature of my room any way I wanted. All I had to do was go over to this thing called a thermostat. You know, now it's all, you even have techie thermostats. Now you can talk to them. Be careful. You start talking to them, they're going to talk back, and one day they're going to lock you in your room. I've seen the movie. You be careful. But you go over to the thermostat, and you put it on auto and heat and set that level. Most of us have been doing in this weather. You got 86 one day and 40 the next day. Some of you are tough. You're just pulling right through it, haven't you? You're like, I'm not going to turn the heat on. It's not cold enough yet. I'm not turning the AC back on. That's just not right. Everybody in your family soaked with sweat. You're like, but I go into that thermostat and studied it to what I want. And I remember turning, and you turn it on, and then I take a moment and listen. Do you ever do that? And I listen. Because I want to make sure I hear it click on. Because the thermostat is controlling it, but I want to make sure I hear the roar. And once I hear the roar after I've turned on the thermostat, then I know that the atmosphere of my room is changing. It might not be the temperature I desire in the moment, but I know in the moment it's not going to stay because I've already started the process of something that's beyond my ability. All I needed to do is turn the thermostat to what I desire for the atmosphere in my room to be. And if someone comes in my room and says, walks into my living room or kitchen and says, man, it's too cold or too hot, I can be accommodated or I can tell them it's not your room. You're getting ready to leave anyway. It's my room. I didn't set it for you. I set it for... And I listen for the roar, and I know the process is begin, and in the process of time, I'm going to have the ability to change the atmosphere with my thermostat. See, some of you, we need to learn to quit letting people define the atmosphere of your room. Come on. If your boss yells at you, that doesn't need to define the atmosphere for your room. If someone cuts you off in traffic, that doesn't need to define the atmosphere of your room. See where I'm going? Stay with me. We're no longer talking about thermostats and temperature. Some of us have the atmosphere and we allow other people to deposit their garbage into our room, and we live with the aroma of their garbage, and it's not even our garbage. You got your own garbage to deal with. Don't bring your stuff into my space. This is my space, my room, and I have a right to change the atmosphere of my room to accommodate to what I want it to be. How do I change the atmosphere of my room? I'm glad you asked, because the Bible says in his presence is fullness of what? Joy. So if I need the presence of God and joy of the Lord is my strength, if I want that in my life, I need the presence of God in my room. I need the presence of God in my life. It's not always a goosebump, but it's the reality of his presence with me, that I'm aware that he's with me. Even if I don't feel him emotionally, I know he's with me.
I wish I could sing right now.
Wish I was T.D. Jakes right now. Psalms chapter 22, verse 3. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because we've talked about the benefits of praising him. The benefits of his presence in our life, and it comes through praise. Psalms 22, 3. But thou art holy, O Lord, thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of his people. So the next time fear starts messing with you, you got to remind yourself, wait a minute. Fear's enemy is the word of God, but fear's enemy is the presence of God. And in the climate that you're in, choose to spiritual thermostat that changed the atmosphere. Amen. How do I change that spiritual atmosphere? Begin to lift your hands and praise him. Yeah. Begin to worship him. We all know Paul and Silas in prison, and they were beaten in hell, but they begin to lift their hand and give God thanks. They begin to walk through, you ought to walk through the halls of your house. I don't care if someone's there or not, and say, Father, I thank you. Though they seem like they're against me, that's okay. 1,000 will fall on my side and 10,000 in my right hand, but it shall not come near me, only with my eyes while I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Father, I thank you that you stand by me as a strong warrior, and my enemies will not be victorious. They will be embarrassed in front of me. Begin to praise him. I praise you that you're my healer. I'm feeling this pain, but I'm going to praise you that you're my healer. Your word says, 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Father, I'm healed. Begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. You don't have to be musical. You don't have to have an instrument. You don't have to have music. You just need to begin to release a praise on the inside to change what's going on the outside. Say, praise him. When you begin to give him thanks, begin to worship him, begin to out of your mouth praise him for who he is. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength, one translation says. The name of the Lord is just not a strong tower, it's a tower of strength. What am I doing? I'm feeling bad, but I'm going to get in my tower. Some of you know, you'll run, I'm not feeling good. You're going to sit in your hot bath. You feel better. I'm telling you, there's something better than a hot bath. That's called the tower of God, the presence of God, the name of the Lord, his presence, his authority. Get it, begin to offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. Are you listening to me? And you begin to do what you already knew to do, but sometimes we forget to keep doing it. Why is this important? Because I want you so trained in the things of the kingdom of God that the next time the enemy starts messing with you, your natural instinct won't be to take a step back. It won't be to take a step down. Your natural instinct is to take a step forward, and having done all, stand against the wind of opposition and lift your hand. It makes no sense to lift your hand when the wind's blowing against you. You want to get smaller, not bigger. Not with God. You want to get bigger and say, God and God alone. He told the people, listen, that army against you is so big, but don't worry. This is my fight. This is my fight. This is my fight. You don't need to do it. All I want you to do is watch and watch me do what I can do. But all I need you to do, I need you to open the door. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. I just need you to invite me into this situation. Your praise is the invitation for Jesus to show up and stand with you. When you're like, oh, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what to do. Open the door. Invite him in. Begin to praise him. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I thank you that you are my wisdom according to the word of God in Corinthians. I'm opening the door. I'm inviting you into this situation with my praise. And with my praise, I'm going to bring in the presence of God. Amen. I just feel so shut up, feelings. Some of us will pray, we'll cry, we'll worship, and all out of sympathy. Sympathy is a tool of the devil to destroy you. If you feel sorry for you, you will never rise up and say, enough is enough. You have to get a hold of the presence of God and the word of God, and he will cause you to be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Ephesians 3 says, be strengthened with might in your inner man by the Spirit of God. Be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in your inner man. That's what he wants to do. Strengthen you. So what used to intimidate you doesn't even affect you. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Take next 30 seconds and give him a praise. Out of your mouth, give him a praise. Give him a crazy praise, Cliff Brown would say. Give him a crazy praise, one that makes no sense to your natural mind. Give him a praise out of your heart. Give him a praise that's louder than you talk. Give him a praise that he deserves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushment against the enemy. When they begin to sing, what were they doing? They were inviting them in. He's like, it's my fight, but you got to tap me in. You got to tap me in. You tap me in and I'm there. You tap me in and you'll walk with the trophy, but you'll know it was me who did it through you. You need to tap me in. Oh, I feel that in my spirit. I didn't plan on saying it, but I like that. Tap Jesus in. People say, why are you praising him? You got a bad report. Because I'm tapping Jesus in. I'm not going to tap out. I'm tapping Jesus in. Why are you singing? You just got fired. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to think. But I know I'm not alone. I have a warrior standing next to me, and I'm tapping him in. Come on, Jesus, you're my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack any good thing. Your wife just asked for a divorce. Why are you praising God? Your marriage is falling apart. Your kids are going to be devastated. No, 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 no. That's what's happening in the moment. You haven't seen what happens when I... Say, it's my turn now. Shout, it's my turn now. Say, it's my turn now. See, the devil shows up out of nowhere and will smack you, and he'll say, ha, 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 gotcha. You just look at him and say, okay, that's your best shot? My turn now. My turn now. My turn. Is that the best you got? It's my turn now. I'm tapping Jesus in. Hallelujah. I know someone here has got to dance in you and you're just afraid to do it. You need to stand up and dance before the Lord. Someone's got to praise. Someone's got to shout. Hallelujah. Get your eyes off, man. Get your eyes on Jesus. Tap Jesus in. Tap Jesus in. Tap Jesus in. Tap Jesus in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm not leaving like I came. You have victory. Woo. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Tap Jesus in. How do I tap them in? You're like, I don't know all the songs. You don't need to know the songs. Just lift your hands and begin to tell him how good he is. Father God, you're good. Maybe you just got saved. You don't know any scripture. Just say, Jesus, you're good. Jesus, I know you're good. Jesus, I know you're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just start telling how much you love him. I love you, Jesus. I don't know anything else, but I love you, Lord Jesus. 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 I don't know what else to say, but I love you, Lord Jesus. But don't make it complicated. Make it simple. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Woo. And the atmosphere will begin to change. Hallelujah. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how my thermostat and HVAC system works, but it works. Hallelujah. Don't let them steal your praise out. Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. That means that's in every language, the word hallelujah. In every language, the word hallelujah is hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. When I go to the Philippines to preach, I don't know one word of their language, but I can say hallelujah, and they know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. One more praise. I know before we leave here, you got it. One more praise. Somebody miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. We're about to walk out of this place different. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't go to bed at night and say, I wish I would have. Don't miss your opportunity. There's something in a corporate anointing. There's something in a corporate praise. There's something when God's people come together. Don't miss your opportunity. Hallelujah! Oh, come on. Let it come out of you. Give him praise. Give him praise. Set him free! I just don't know if all that emotional stuff's important. I don't know if it makes a difference. Stay bound if you want. But some of us are going to say, I don't understand how it works, but I'm going to tap Jesus in. And I'm going to bring, and next time, and you know, I tried that once and it didn't last for a long time. You got to get back in it. You got to get back in it. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. Jesus said, I'm the doorway, and through me, people come in and out and find pasture. That means you've done it once, do it again. Don't tell me the devil just doesn't try to attack you once every time he tries to attack you. Say, oh, thank you for reminding me, and begin to praise it, Jesus. Begin to praise the Lord. Tap him, tap in again. How long? Until you know he's there. Until you know he's there. Until you hear the roar of heaven, things are about to change. Hallelujah. 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 This is not about me. I'm letting the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Hallelujah. Don't look at me. It's not about me. I'm just waiting for the Holy Ghost to say he's done. Hallelujah. High five two or three people. Say hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't miss your praise. Don't miss your praise opportunity. Tap Jesus in. I don't understand how, but I know who. I don't understand how, I know who. I don't understand how, but I know who. I don't understand how, but I know who. I don't understand when, but I know who. I don't understand why, but I know who. Keep your eye on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, I'm going to praise him. No matter the cost, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. When they began singing and praising the Lord, he said, ambushment against them. Hallelujah. And they were struck down in defeat. But those who had come against Judah, those who come against you as a praiser, listen, when you understand the power of praise, someone come against you, you won't even have to try to fight them. You're going to have to pray for mercy for them, because you know the moment they begin to attack you while you are praising him, there is nothing good ahead of them, because they have come against the God who is more than enough. He is a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let me close with this blessing. If you lift your hands, I'll speak the blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. God told Moses, have the high priest Aaron speak this over the people, and I'll do it. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor this week and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. Prayer partners will be down here at the end of the service. I don't know any other way to stop this, or close this service, but to say we love you. Bring somebody next week. Stay in the presence of God as long as you want. Stay in the presence of God as long as you want. My part is done, but God's part is still working in your life.